Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center in Claremont, California, and I am happy to welcome you tonight to the show that is all about you and personal stories, personal experiences, the kinds of subjects that we love to discuss here, but may not fit into the mainstream thinking and water cooler discussions at work every day. So we ask you to please join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and so importantly, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your co-host tonight, along with me, are Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, and our favorite, almost, is that okay to say, Forever Family Certified Medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, Janet Mayer. And I'd love to share with you my favorite quote that seems to be coming up almost every time I'm on the show with you. It's a Brené Brown quote, and it's fitting for this show. The willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time. So I would like to give you the two dial-in numbers so that you can call and join our conversation with a comment, a story, a question. We would love to hear from you. So please call us at 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831 and share something with us tonight. Hello, Betty, and hello, Janet. I'm so happy to be with you.
Hi, Janet.
Hello. Hi, it's good to be here with you guys.
You too. I missed you both last month.
Yeah, we missed you too.
Is that a caller already?
That is a caller. Right. We have Lisa from New Jersey. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you all doing this evening?
Oh, great. How are you this evening?
Well, thank you. I've had quite a whirlwind. I receive messages and I hear voices, you know, and I know I'm connected. And I was told I needed to leave Florida. I just moved from Florida, and it was just like I didn't listen, and I pushed my own issues. And then, I said, okay, you know, like the messages would just get out, go. So I came to New Jersey, and I was trying to go somewhere else. I was going to go to different places. Because I don't drive, I'm legally blind, and I was going to go to different places, and that didn't work out, and I'm really trying to listen and be in tune and intuitive, and I haven't gotten any messages that kind of, you know, my grandmother and my father, they've kind of quelled, and my best friend just kind of quelled. She passed like 11 years ago, and now I'm back here in New Jersey, and I was just kind of being remorseful about last time I was here. I was she passed away, and a year later I moved to Florida, and I don't know, I'm supposed to be here, I know I am, but I haven't gotten any signs or anything. Not that I'm expecting it now, you know, I'm just trying to be, I'm being in the moment, and I know, you know, I have to be patient, I understand that, and nothing comes because I want it to come, it'll come when it comes. But she's been just, you know, just been kind of like really missing her, and it's like I know I'm supposed to be here, but I'm not sure why, and I don't know. Is there, you know, I'm not good at asking, so I'm not sure what I need to ask for. You know, I'm good at listening and I'm good at doing, but asking for myself, I'm kind of having a hard time, and I didn't know if you might be able to steer me in some type of direction.
Well, first of all, I would like to jump in real quick and say that when you were saying about asking, you know, that's kind of part of, you know, the whole deal is kind of saying, okay, I'm not sure I'm going. I know, like you kept saying, I know I'm supposed to be here. And I think that's wonderful. I think that, you know, stay open and trust whatever starts coming through. And if nothing comes through, then maybe right now you're just in a good place and you just need to focus on living and allow to be open that if something comes through, it will come through. And, you know, it kind of seems like you took this whole path from New Jersey, then to Florida and now back. And a whole lot of things have probably happened in that time. And now you're back and maybe you're supposed to just settle and say, okay, I'm here. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to focus on what I need to on my own life. And if any time someone needs to come through and give me a message, I'm going to be open and do it in a way that I will understand. Because sometimes we think, oh, we're going to get a sign this way. And then it doesn't happen. And you're like, well, gosh, why didn't I get that? Why didn't it come through when it's actually coming through in a whole different way? And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like the light bulb goes off. So maybe, you know, don't be focusing on, you know, why am I not getting something from someone or why isn't something coming through? Maybe right now it's not supposed to. We don't always get a message, you know, not, it doesn't have to come through constant. It could be there when you need it. And then it just kind of flows and your life flows. And then maybe something's going to come through all of a sudden and like, oh, hey, I need to pay attention. I need to allow this to come through for me. And, you know, show me at any time what I need to know. And so maybe that's kind of where you're at. You're just in this kind of settling, laid back place that I don't need to constantly be doing. I just need to let go and let, you know, whatever needs to happen kind of flow with me in my life.
Mm-hmm. And you that's know, an excellent point. Thank you.
But you know, Lisa, what I'm thinking is that you have received it in a way because you feel it. You say you feel it. No, you should be there, you know. And we've so devalued feeling, but feeling is a profound and deep way of knowing, for sure. And then to the second point I wanted to make is that you know, we are creative beings, and it could be that they're waiting for you, you know, to create the life that is in you to create rather than coming from them. Those are just my two thoughts.
I concur with you on that. I know, yeah. And I always want to be active and doing what I need to do for, you know, humanity. It's not just for me, but, you know, what's the message and what do I need to do? What do I need to, how do I need to step up and show up for humanity?
Well, and you know what else? It doesn't have to be big. It can be, you know, sometimes we think, you know, where you have to do something that's huge. And it's like, it doesn't have to be significant. It can be something little, something that might seem insignificant, but it's actually huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that with Janet. Yeah, is it sometimes, in fact, I've had this so much in dream or vision, is that something that we think is small has incredibly powerful effect. You know, I'm still trying to understand that, but I think it, whatever we do from our heart, and you are wanting to do that, that's from your heart, there's no way you won't what to do, you know. It will come to you, you will know. And whatever, I agree with Janet, it can seem small to us, but it can be enormous in terms of the universe.
And it could not only seem small, you could miss it entirely.
Oh, that's all the good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I would think, even, I mean, you picked up the phone, you showed up, you're putting yourself out there. How many thousands of people are thinking the same thing? It's like, what's up? You know? I know how to do this. Where is it? I like it. You know, I feel like I need some guidance. And yet being mindful and showing up and being open, and maybe it does come down sometimes, I don't know, to asking. It may be that too.
Well, I think your whole life is asking from what I hear from you, Lisa, is that you do so want to do something creative and loving for not only yourself, but others. There is no way that doesn't attract. Yeah, and that attracts.
Oh,
that
yeah.
attracts
oh, yeah.
All of it to you.
Right.
It's just a powerful attractor.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and, you know, you already trust what you receive. You're already doing all that. You know, it sounds like that you're totally being open. And part of it is, if you're kind of like me, is I always want more. I want more. You know, it's like
we all do. Yeah.
Can I be more open? What can I get? Am I paying attention enough? You know, and I always think, okay, you know what? I just have to allow whatever's going on right now. That's what I have to do. That's where I'm supposed to be. And if I need to know something, I feel like, you know, the other side, that, you know, your friend, your loved ones from over, you know, they'll let you know in some way that makes sense to you, where, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know if I really would believe that or get that. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's not their life. It's your life. And if you're staying open, you're staying open to what needs to happen, then you're already living how you want to live and how you're supposed to live. And you're trusting what you receive. You're doing what, like you said, I knew I needed to be back here. I knew it. Well, now you are. And so now be like, okay, I did that. That's great. Now, where am I going from here? What steps do I want to take personally that's going to lead me to open more doors? You know, and that's what's important right now, is that, you know, you're taking the next step. You're not just going, okay, now what? I'm going to sit here and wait. You can't do that. You have to keep moving forward. Otherwise, nothing goes with you. It just all stops, you know?
Sense.
Yeah.
There's so many directions to go in. It's that listening. And I'm usually guided, and right now it's been quiet. And I guess I, somewhere in within me, I must know what it is. Otherwise, I would have been guided.
Right.
You know, like sometimes it's just up to me to make the decision and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there is some real value in just the waiting. You know, we don't know what's going on other energy levels with us, you know.
I was thinking that, too. Is that's it? You point. Might be ready in your head, but maybe the rest of you isn't ready for another step. You know, just maybe yet, you're trying to kind of catch up with all the changes that have already happened, you know.
Yeah, that's...
Thank
That's
you.
Big to leave one state and go to another. That's big,
right,
I think.
Right. Lisa, do you have an experience that you have had in the past that you feel like you'd like to share tonight?
Oh, my God. I've had so many. pick a topic.
Oh, good. Well, tell us that we want to hear those things.
Those are still, what do they call them? Evergreen.
Evergreen. Yeah, that's always.
Well, I used to go to a channel meditation in Nyack, New York for many, many, many years. And then that disbanded. And then it started again. One of the girls called up and said, I was told we're supposed to start meditation again. And it's funny because myself, I was like, well, I was told that I'm supposed to do a meditation, but I'm not going to go out and promote myself or anything. And I was like, okay, so I'm the one who's supposed to do it. It was kind of funny. So we would do it. So we've been doing this for a couple of years with the pandemic. And my friend's husband passed away. And he had passed away about 6 months before, about. And I had seen him just as he was crossing over and stuff. And then when I saw him, he crossed over like that night. I had talked to him. He was not conscious enough to talk. But we spoke, and then so we were doing the meditation, and it was her anniversary. It was their anniversary, and I knew him well, and I know her well. And during the meditation, he came to her, and it was like so clear. He was like, "How can I not come?" You know, he's like in his total fashion of who he is. He's like, "Of course I'm going to come." And the meditation kind of like she went somewhere with him, and she got to communicate with him and stuff. And then we had the other people in the group, we had like a different experience. Like they were supposed to, you know, he came, he knew we did this meditation. He never went to it, but he knew we did this meditation, Nyack. And then we started it again, and he knew that. When he was alive, he knew this. So when he crossed over, he's like, he showed up. And then they had their time together, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment, totally unexpected.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. That's a great story. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's a feeling that will never go away.
Yeah, true. I love that he crossed over, but not before. It was great.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Glad you called in.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. I was remembering something that you had shared, Betty, and I think you wrote about it in The Miracle of Death, about that one more experience, just one more experience. Oh. That might be something interesting to share.
Okay.
About addiction.
Oh, yes. And I will share it, but I think we have, no?
It's Dawn.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, then I'll share it. I thought that was, I can't see from where I'm sitting. Yes, I had an experience when it was early on, and I wasn't sure of anything in those years. And I had a vision in which I just thought, I was having experiences, and yet I kept thinking, I want one more vision. I want something else to convince me that I was having visions. And then I had the experience, really, from the other side, of them showing me that I was addicted to ordinary consciousness. That is, to just the left brain kind of daily consciousness. I'd always, all my life, tried to have other experiences, but and I went to the university to learn more about spirituality, which is a kind of funny thing. And I didn't agree with this fiction of the superiority of the left brain, not at all whatsoever. But during the visions, I realized that I had been addicted on an unconscious level, and I couldn't believe anything, even though I was experiencing it. And as I had to have one more. It's like being in a bar and needing one more drink. You know? But they showed me that, yes, you see, you've had these visions and you will not look at them and you will not accept them. And this is that addiction of the left brain, which I really had to work with,
right,
to dissolve and balance it out with the rest of me. Is that the one you were thinking of, Kim?
That is. And it was when you were in the experience, you didn't question it. When you came out, your rational mind would tear it apart and devalue it and dismiss it. And you thought, okay, one more. I'll be convinced if I just have one more experience.
It's so to see it as really a kind of like a drunk was was very important for me to see exactly what I was doing.
The patterns of mind, the patterns of thought, you know.
And especially the patterns that the Western world has addicted us to, itself being addicted to it. It's very easy to diminish, reduce these incredible things that we're feeling or experiencing or seeing or events in our lives that clearly are gifts. So, that was it.
A good one. And then the lesson out of that one, which you had told me about years later too, was doubt absorbs the light.
Yeah, I did have that. It was very clear that my doubting mind, in that sense, I mean, just an addictive doubting. There are times when doubting is very, very good, but I was addictively doubting everything with my left brain, not when I was deep in the vision, as Kim says, but it's that doubting that just absorbs the light. So if you're doubting sometimes to that extent, you can't, and you can't even see the light.
I was going to say, you can't see straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and you know, the thing is too, is grief is so deep, and it's so all-consuming that when you get some kind of sign or a symbol or a feeling or anything that it may be, it takes you out so brings you up so far up, and the feeling is so beautiful and so amazing that then you want to keep going there. And you know, you still have to process the grief, but it's also so amazing to have the experience that it kind of opens you up in a whole different way, you know, that, and I don't want to say it becomes addictive, but it's more that it's such a all-consuming feeling that you want to find that again. You want that because it connects you to that loved one and it connects you to that moment, and it just keeps you going. And, you know, I always say that, you know, grief can motivate or it can freeze. It can freeze us or it can motivate us. And a lot of times when you have an experience, it does motivate you to say, you know what, I can move forward and I am still going through grief and I do want another, I want to get more. I hope I get more signs or, you know, and that's why I tell people just to pay attention daily. It's really simple to do that one thing and be open enough that, you know, I'm not saying that every time you turn a corner that, oh, there's a sign. Oh, there's a symbol. You know, it's more of, you know, just continue to live and be open and get that whole separate feeling that you never thought you would ever experience because you never realized what grief can do to you. And so it can change you. It can open a door. It can move you forward. And it is, you know, it is about, you know, your what you're experiencing in your life. And I just think it's really important for people to be open to what they can, you know, experience, because it is real. It does exist. It is energy. It is form. And I think that by doing that, it can really help you move forward in your life. And it can bring, I don't want to say bring you happiness, but it does in a way. It brings you to a point of, okay, they are still around in a different form, in a different way. And I can still experience that. And I do look forward to that. But I am still here, and I do have to still, you know, exist in this life and live in this life. Yeah. And I think that's important to remember.
I think so too, Janet. And you, what you were saying is that it's possible to be addicted to the visionary world as well, you know, and the old masters of Kundalini have made that clear, is that very often they can want to be in that enlightened state and not really live their lives. And so it's very important that we don't get addicted to the left brain, but also that we don't get addicted to just wanting to be in the visionary world, because we are here in time and space to create. And so we can use those experiences and channel that energy into creative ways, not only for our own healing, but for the earth and other people. Yeah.
And the thing too is, you know, what I have is different than what you have, which is different than what someone else has. And yet, you know, we all move with that, you know, waiting for signs or connecting to our loved one in our own way. And I think that that's really important, is, you know, remembering that. And I think, you know, I was talking to someone not too long ago about, you know, well, nobody believes it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, that's okay, but it's not what everybody believes. It's what you experienced, and your experience is very valid. And it's, you know, it's what you feel. It's what your, you know, understanding is of that moment. And I think that that's really important, that people need to remember that, you know, everyone does get different signs, or they do see something different, or they breathe differently. So, you know, to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to remember that feeling is one of the most powerful ways of communicating. And I think I've said before that the ancient Egyptian civilization knew that without feeling, civilization cannot unfold. It cannot continue. That this is a language, certainly between individuals, and it is a language of communicating with other dimensions. So, and each of us, that feeling, just as we each speak another language in a sense, that feeling will communicate to us what we need to know if we can be open to it. Yeah.
Right. That's good. Do you want to give the number out again, Kim?
I would love to do that. I invite each and every one of you to call. We have about 30 minutes left of the show. 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Janet, have you had any interesting experiences lately?
Not recently. I haven't had anything too recent, but I've been also focused on having fun.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
Oh, no, I have. I shouldn't say I'm not, you know, I mean, if I am open, if, you know, there's an experience, or, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, you kind of get like feelings that something's going to happen or come through. And it, you know, I tell my sister often, you know, a lot of times I'll be like, you know, I know that I'm getting that feeling. I know there's something that's going to be happening shortly. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, that does happen. And I just kind of let it go and say, okay, it's just a reminder that I'm paying attention, but still continuing to focus on life. And, you know, I was looking into something. I'm trying to think of what I was reading something about vibration and how really love is vibration. And that's what vibration is. And I know there's a lot of scientific name, you know, definitions that I'm sure I'll, you know, probably someone will call and let me know. But I thought that it was really interesting to talking about how the vibration of love, there are thousands and thousands of different ways of that. And I thought that's really cool, because it shows how individual we all are, and how we can accept, you know, we're kind of, it helps you eliminate boundaries with other people. And when you remember or you listen to their experience, and sometimes, you know, you do, you hear some experiences, you're like, oh, okay. And then you hear one and it just resonates with you so deep. And you're like, okay, that's where I'm at. That's, you know, I'm on that level with that person and that understanding. And a lot of times it's because somebody had that connection or they had that experience and maybe they couldn't name it. But when somebody else said it, they mm-hmm. suddenly were able to name it, you know? And I think that's kind of really cool too, because it makes it more powerful when somebody has an experience and they're sharing it. Like, you know, on the show, they'll share an experience. There's somebody else out there who says, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I didn't realize that. And it might not be something, you know, earth shattering, but it's earth shattering to them. And that's the important thing. And when we all remember that, it kind of, you know, connects us a little more around the world and connects us a little more fully to say, you know what, they had that experience. And I, you know, I had this experience. And what about the next person? And what about the next person? So I don't know. I just look at it like that. It's all a vibration. It's all with love and it's all connected. So,
well, yes. And love connects us for sure.
That's my thoughts for the night.
That's good.
Well, those are good thoughts. I was just thinking, I'll move to something else. I was just thinking about an experience I had when Ishvan, my husband, was killed in a car accident in Hungary. And his brother and his wife came that morning and to tell me. And from then on, you know, I was getting my ticket to fly to Hungary and packing up, throwing some things in the suitcase, getting to the airport and that sort of thing. And when I got on the plane, I was finally able to just relax and just, I didn't have to do anything anymore. And mm-hmm. so as I did, I suddenly had this experience of a century plant. Now, years ago, we had a century plant in our yard and it didn't do anything. And then after years, one day, that century plant began to just opened up and birds were coming and there were all kinds of excitement. But that had been some time ago. But when I was on the plane, suddenly it wasn't that I remembered that experience, is that I saw the century plant on the other side. And it was like a celebration that he had crossed over to the other side and that I could experience it as a celebration. And I was feeling that. I mean, it wasn't like rational thought. I just felt when I saw this, and it was such a celebration. Mm-hmm. And in the vision, the birds were coming and it was blossoming. And it was like all of nature was celebrating and enjoying it. And that was so healing for me. I had to go to that country. I had to go to where he was killed, see everything, do everything, get the death certificates and that sort of thing. But it wasn't as arduous a journey because I had experienced that joyful celebration of his arriving home.
It's like, oh, what was I going to say? I don't know exactly. It fell out of my head, but it was like you experiencing the life.
Yes.
Of death, the life.
The
of
life.
Death.
Yes. It was not, oh, you know, it wasn't. No, it was like something blossomed and came into full being.
Oh, my.
And I really experienced his crossing in that way. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that kind of vision because it, talk about frequency. I think those visions, those experiences and dreams, they change the frequency within us. So that we can feel and think and experience and go about our activities in a very different way.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. We have Melanie on the phone from Nevada. Good evening, Melanie. Thank you for calling us.
Hi. I'm calling because I called before, but I think it's what you talk about is so important. And my daughter crossed a little over two years ago, and it's obviously taken me time to settle down to be able to really start recognizing our new conversations. And I think that's important for people to understand. It takes a little time sometimes, but she's very prolific with how she communicates. And like daily, I still get the hearts that she started with in the beginning. But, you know, and that's a hello and a confirmation. And she gives me a lot of coins. But the other side that I'm finally learning to recognize is like her acknowledging events that she's been at that happen. And an example is her 19th birthday would have been she would have been 19 last month. So I drove to see my family, and we always celebrate her by the coast, and we put a boat with flowers in the water, and we sing and, you know, just celebrate her because she's so beautiful. But this year, my sister bought 5 balloons, and they didn't say happy birthday. They were yellow balloons, and they said, be happy. And my job was to distribute them to my daughter's cousins. So we have, she has 4 little cousins under the age of 13. So I drove these balloons the hour to the coast, and I forgot to give it to them. So my sister's like, just take them home. And I live another 4-hour drive, and I have all these helium balloons. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with these? And I had part in my mind to just like, okay, I'll just pop them. But I'm like, no, I can't do that. They're celebratory. So I weighed them down. I brought them home, and they were in my living room. And my birthday was 2 days later. So I thought, well, we'll just, you know, I'll keep them and celebrate us both. So on my birthday, I go to Home Depot, and I'm walking in the garden section, and there's this little magnet turned upside down on the ground, and I pick it up, and it's a little bee exactly like the one on the balloon, and it said happy. So that was her saying, yep, I see it. I'm with you. I love you. So it's stuff like that, too.
Oh, I love it.
That's so wonderful.
Neat. You know what? It's wonderful that you know, that you're noticing that you're paying attention, that you continue, you know, to have a relationship with her. And I think that she is sending you some wonderful signs. I think that's really, and I mean, you know, giving you a happy birthday, which how wonderful is that, you know?
Wow. Well, and to me, just recognizing that connection to those specific balloons, I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you. Because it really...
That's what's so cool. I mean, it actually connects. They match. And that's a wonderful sign and a beautiful sign. And, you know, it's a happy birthday to you, which that makes it even better, you know? So you still do communicate.
Yeah,
and that's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Melanie.
No, Melanie.
Oh, I would just, again, to encourage people who are continuing to, you know, in either early stages or in the healing or the growth process or anywhere in that kaleidoscope of grief, it is an ongoing conversation. It's not, for me anyway, it's not a pop in now and again. It's an ongoing development of the relationship, and I'm learning that grief for me is understanding that relationship, because it's not disappeared. I mean, you guys talk about that all the time. It's not disappeared. It's there. It's just that sometimes we're just maybe a little too dense to, like, literally and figuratively too dense to connect with it, but it's there, and it's beautiful, and it's what's helping me to proceed. So I would encourage anyone to really, like you said, trust whatever it is, you know, just trust it.
Yeah, right. Trust what you receive, because it's a good message. Yeah.
And Melanie, you had created such an energy field of happiness, which allowed that to come through. It's so important, you know, that what our hearts are open to can allow so much to happen.
Right. You prepared a celebration.
Yes.
To honor her beauty and the beauty of her life and her ongoing communication.
Yeah. That's
knowing she's present, and voila.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you know, what you said was grief, you know, grief is in the present. It's not in the past. It's still in the present.
It's true.
We have to exist in the present, so we have to live with it. And so, you know, experiencing something that you're receiving from your daughter, I mean, what a beautiful gift every single time, no matter when it happens, how it happens.
And, you know, there was, I thought of when my son died, I thought many times that about the fact that what a gift that I was his mother for 20 years. And that, what was it? I think Khalil Gibran had said, we don't own our children. They come to us as gifts. And we are the bow that releases the arrow into the world.
Oh,
aren't you? It's beautiful. But I thought, you know, it was a, we come in and we go out, but we, the consciousness still exists. But I thought, what a beautiful gift that we were together in life for 20 years and that's still alive and consciousness is still alive. And I wanted so much not to bring just devastation, you know, I tried to transform that, I would say, into gratitude. And I think grief helps us to do that. It helps us to do that. Grief and gratitude are part of the same package, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would. I agree, but it's not easy, especially the first year, half, 2 years.
It's easier right away. Not at all.
I just wanted to say that again, we don't know, you know, whatever stage anyone is in it, but it does take effort even in the grief. And I frequently would people, you know, it would check in on me and I'm like, I'm just sad, happy. And then it started to shift to happy, sad. And we hold those feelings. We can hold both those feelings at the same time.
Exactly. So that's important to know. I agree with you totally. And I only learned that through his death, that we can hold both those feelings and we move on that scale back, you know, in various directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for the show. I'm going to hang up so someone else can get in. But I just, she keeps sending these more profound things. And sometimes it takes me a day or two to make the connection. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you.
So, well, stay on just a second. I have one more thing I want to say to you. And that is because I don't at all want to make it sound like it's easy. No, I think there are times when you feel that you can't breathe, that you can't, you know, that you can't survive and that you don't know what to do with it. But I think that because my mother was killed in an automobile accident, and then the next year my son, and then 2 years later my husband. And I was just, I think that there was something in me so wanting to survive. It was like swimming like crazy to survive. But then there was a time when I went somewhere at a celebration, and there were these beautiful children there and people. And when I came home, I just collapsed. And I've found myself crying and screaming, it can never be healed. It can never be healed. Well, I think I had to go to that place, you know, where I experienced that. And over the week, I could feel myself moving back into a place of, no, that's not the only truth here. But it was a truth I had to experience, a feeling that I had to go through. So no, I wouldn't in any form want to make it look like I thought, it, you know, that it's easy. It's not. But they're tremendous, as you very well know, but just tremendous potential of healing and love in it. Hmm. So I just wanted to say that before you go, Melanie. It's not easy.
I didn't mean to imply at all that you were saying that. I guess my point was that, you know, and that is the amount of loss in such a short time you experience is just profound. But I'm with you. I mean, from day one, I had to sit in the gratitude. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to breathe, literally. But it takes, I guess my point was to, if people are in that point of suffering, that it takes intention, even if you think you don't have it takes intention to open to the gratitude that will at least bring the breath back, you know.
That's beautifully said. Beautifully said. That's so good.
Thank you for calling. All right, I'll let go so someone else can get in. But thank you for listening to.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Melanie.
Okay. Bye.
How beautiful. That she is privileged to have those experiences with her daughter. I mean, what a wonderful outlook with, you know, the tragedy she has gone through. I'm just here in awe listening to her thinking, you know, I love the angle and where she has come from, because grief is not easy. And to find that, to pull yourself, you know, and of course it is back and forth all the time, but it's, you know, to find that and feel that privilege and say, yes, I got to experience this time while she was here, you know, it's amazing. And it's a beautiful way to look at it. And I think that, you know, we can look at that in many ways with a lot of our loved ones, you know, that, you know, what a wonderful thing that I got to experience them here, you know, and I think about that too, with the people that I have lost and what I've gone through. And I think, you know, okay, you know, and I think that because I have always been so strongly, I have always all my life, you know, from when I was little, having all the experiences that I've had, thinking and knowing that they are there with us on, you know, wherever you want to put them, you know, I always say they're right next to me. And, you know, when people look up, I'm like, no, they're right there. They're right there. They look up, they're right next to you, you know? And I think that it's just connecting in your own way and knowing that and having that knowing in whatever experience that you go through and however you receive your signs or your symbols. And if you hear them or feel them and, you know, it's all about love and it's all a connection. And I think that's beautiful the way that she's experiencing that.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with you, Janet.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, I don't know. I guess I think about that too with, you know, the people that, you know, who I've lost, and I've lost some people recently and, you know, and it's, and I guess when you know, were asking me, have I gotten any recent signs? I guess, you know, I get in my head because I get so used to seeing things or hearing or knowing things that I forget that I have to stop and say thank you, which I do that often. I'll be like, oh, hey, thanks. You know, I'm so glad that, you know, you came through. And sometimes I just laugh and, you know, like you see something or something comes through and you're like, oh my gosh, they just came through and they gave me this, you know, I got the sign. It's like, oh, you know, I have to remember to pay more attention at times because I try to. But like, you know, like I said, I've been having fun lately. I've been on vacation and I've been, you know, it's one of those things to kind of bring me back and to say, okay, you know, I know they're still around me and I know they're going to give me signs and I know it's probably going to happen like tonight or tomorrow because that's the way it does is when I'm not paying attention, they'll come through. And I think it's important just to remember that they are around us. And I'm one of those people that are 100% that, you know, people say, oh, they're around you 24/7. And I'm like, I don't think that my loved ones are because they're probably bored. So it's like, you know, go do what you're doing and, you know, drop in when I need you, when you feel that energy going out to me. Like, you know, don't you ever have days where you're like, I really need something. And it's like, well, I don't know if anything, you know, something didn't come through, but it's like, it comes through when they need to come through. They come through when they need to. And that's the most important thing that I always remember is when I really need it, they are there for me. And if it's something little, they're kind of like, you know what? You're on your own. You're still on Earth. Go figure it out. You know?
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think, you know, your life, Janet, has been very different from mine in that you had those experiences, as you were saying, from early, early on, and you knew. And I spent so much of my life thinking, is it really true that there's nothing beyond matter? And I spent my life looking for it, studying and trying to experience it and doing so many different things. And I think that so many of us in the Western world do go through that. It was really through the death of my son that I really began to have those experiences. But I spent so much of my life not having them, but studying about it and being open to it and reading about everybody else's, you know. And that helped me. And I'm grateful for the stories that I've heard from others, because when the time came, it helped me tremendously. And just like with those who call in with their stories, you know, it's hard to know how many people are hearing them and grateful, you know, for those stories. Gives them hope until theirs come, because we don't always have the reassurances that we want right away, you know, unless we're Janet Mayer.
And I mean, well, yeah, but when I was young, I didn't understand a lot of it, you know, so I was really going through a difficult time trying to figure it out when, you know, in our Western world, they're like, oh, that doesn't exist or that doesn't happen. And you're like, no, I know this, you know, I mean, this is happening and this is what I'm seeing and this is what I'm hearing. And I think that, you know, sometimes something subtle, you know, if someone gets a sign, it could be very subtle and then they question it and they're like, did I really get that? I think I did. How about from now on, when you get something, when, you know, if anyone's listening, if you think you get any kind of, you know, sign, anything that you feel is connected, tell them thank you and to please keep at it. And that, let you know if there's anything that you need to be aware of, or if there's anything, you know, that can help guide you in that direction. And I have that where I have, you know, I always, you know, call it the very, I have a warning guide that when the language comes through and it comes through full force, I have to stop and be like, okay, what's going on? And I mean, I've already been in the car and slammed on the brakes and are, you know, and there'll be something, somebody, a big truck pulling out and you're like, oh my gosh. And, you know, and it's just being aware, making yourself a little more aware every day that you're open to your loved ones if they need to come through, or if they just want to come through with a, you know, a simple sending you love. I mean, that's more important than anything. And so I think that that's a big thing that I want people to just to be open and you don't have to get this, you know, flash coming at you, you know, a big sign. It can be something subtle and it can be something that seems insignificant to someone else, but it's humongous to you. And I think that if people are just simply open and they're aware of what's around them and their loved ones are around them, I think that they'll be getting more and more and they'll start to connect it and think, oh my gosh, I know what she means. I got that. Oh my gosh. You know, and I think that's kind of a good angle to try to, you know, when you're moving forward and you want something from someone to come through and you want a sign or you want something, you know, just stay open, pay attention. That's I always say, pay attention.
And, yeah, that is your saying, pay attention.
Pay attention and be grateful.
Yeah. Right.
Be grateful and allow it and simply allow it. And you know, if someone else questions it, it doesn't matter. It's not them. It's for you.
Well, so, I think that's important. That's the most important point, I think, is mm-hmm. that you know it. Mm-hmm. And we cannot let what other people say because they didn't have the experience, you know?
Right. And it's very culture has blocked has blocked intuition on so many levels that, you know, like when one of your children comes up and says something, you know, a lot of times people will be like, oh, that's, you know, you're just make believe. It's not really happening. Instead say, wow, that's really interesting. And, you know, just open up that door for them. So as they grow up, as they get older, they can be more intuitive as well.
Exactly. I mean, we've so demeaned and belittled these experiences, you know, when the things that children tell us, what they see, what an experience, because our culture said we should do that because there's really nothing beyond matter. And I think I've mentioned this before, but when Jude Curvin, who's a cosmologist and physicist, was a child, she talks about Thoth, the Egyptian god, probably a great soul, and how he came to her in the night and taught her.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? And you would just think, and here's today, she is a physicist, but he taught her, she says, many of those things so that when she did study, she had an understanding of it. And good heavens, if that can happen, and I trust her totally, then anything can happen, right?
Understanding beyond that which she could have gained from her studies.
Yes, yes.
Experience.
Because we really are learning that Egyptian culture was highly developed, visionaries and scientists, and they had an understanding of, you were talking about frequencies, laws of harmony, and cosmic alignment with their temples, all of these things, even in the incenses, which actually had an evolutionary effect on the human being. So we're just beginning to realize they were so much more advanced. In fact, they were so advanced that the people studying them thought they were barbarians, not realizing that the ones who were studying them were the barbarians. They had no concept of what they were studying. And now we're growing up enough to really realize that they were science and mystic culture. The scientists were the mystics and the mystics the scientists. So it's just wonderful to allow ourselves to open up in a way that our culture has not allowed us to, and to know miraculous things happen. In my case, I don't see, I've often thought it would just, except in certain visionary experiences, but on a daily basis, I don't see things or get, you know, I just kind of, it's just feeling. I kind of know things and I feel their presence just through feeling, you know, and, yeah. And even in my work, I feel the guidance, theirs and others. And just sometimes I'll think, well, how do I know that? You know, how did I know that? And then I'll think about it a while, and usually I'll find a way to substantiate it with evidence, you know, yeah, there it was. So it's not anything dramatic with me, but it's, you know, that would knock me out. And oh my, I wish for a while it would be, but I'm okay with the way it is. But it is a very powerful feeling.
Well, and Betty, in Diana Archangel's book, can't think of the name of it. Oh my gosh, it went blank. Extraordinary Experiences or something. Diana Archangel. But I know that in her book, she had a survey, and this was taken years ago, that, you know, a lot of people, like 20% of people have visions, 13% have auditory, which is what you're getting, you're hearing it, you're understanding. 52% people have a combination. And it's interesting because I thought that was really neat that a lot of times, like half of the population, they're having, you know, dual experiences. They're seeing and hearing, or they're getting other things, and it's like they're still questioning it.
Yes.
And you think, goodness, how does it happen? And it's because of the way they were raised. But
it gives people hope
that it really does exist.
Oh, I like that. Yes, we have absolutely been brainwashed. You know, it's like being brainwashed politically with corporations owning the news. Well, our Western worldview was certainly a corporate voice telling us, and it's science, you must believe it. But we didn't know at the time science itself had been censored from the get-go. And so it wasn't until quantum physics that we knew that there's nothing but matter is not correct. But yeah, as we've been brainwashed, conditioned to think that. So it's interesting. Yeah, it was like with me, no matter how many experiences I had to have one more, you know, and that's a sign of a brainwashed brain.
There you go.
And while I'm thinking about it, I remember her book, it's Afterlife Encounters. I was calling it Afterlife Experiences, and I knew that wasn't right. It's Afterlife Encounters. So that I wanted to make sure I, you know, got Diana Archangel's book correct.
That's
because I there for a minute and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know this. What is it? And I love her book and it has a lot of stories in it. But it is interesting how we pick up, you know, individually something different, you know, and so you may see, you know, you may hear it or somebody may see it, or somebody might feel it. And I love that's how we, you know, we all connect.
Yes. And what is the title again, Janet?
It's called Afterlife Encounters. Let me see here.
Oh,
Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences.
That's good. I guess it's time.
I missed one of the words, and I'm like, I know that book. I have that book.
Yes, I do too. Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, when people understand too, we have to remember that what the show is about is that your experiences. And I hope people will call in again next month. We're going to be here, and let's see. I guess it's about time, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, then I will go ahead and I will close out with the Mahayana prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you, Janet, and thank you, everyone. We hope you join us again on the fourth Thursday of June.
Yes, see you in June.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.